All right. Welcome to the village. Welcome to the village. It's your man, KJ. You guys are politicking with the village. Got my big bro Chance in the village. My brother, you know, we've been living life and we've been both grinding. So I'm working on some stuff. You working on big time stuff. Everybody is working on some stuff. Crazy how that works. But anyways, village, we are live. We are with you guys. We are here. You guys can check us out live on Facebook Live. Just go to my personal page and we are there. So anyways, village, we got a bunch of topics for you guys today. We got a lot of political things going on. So Chance, my brother, what do you want to hear first, man? Are you thinking you want to talk about some Stormy Daniels real quick? Let's get that out the way because she's kind of a savage too now.
You know, why not? Let's throw her up there. Ladies first, right?
Ladies first. Yes. All right. I'll take that, bro. So Stormy Daniels, part of her lawsuit was thrown out, right? And of course, it'll go through the appeals process and stuff like that. That's just the nature of legal issues. Mm-hmm. But I think the crazier part was once President Trump found out that, you know, part of the lawsuit was thrown out, he went to Twitter, as he normally does, and started calling her names. Now, she responded ever so beautifully, and I started to put the tweet up, but I'm just like, you know what? I don't want to start a bunch of crap. I'm just going to wait till the show. And we'll discuss it then. And I'm over here pulling up the image right now because I want to read to this tweet that she put out on her behalf. She basically is saying, keep your mouth shut. Your penis is small. That's basically what she said in a nutshell. That's it. If you really want to think about what she had to say, that's basically what she said. And for some reason, I can't find the damn tweet, and that's okay. Yeah, it's okay. It is what it is this time. I thought I had saved a tweet. I guess I didn't. But yeah, so she basically was like, look, play me if you want to. I know how small your penis is. And of course, the internet is just pure savagery, right? Okay, here it is. I got a chance. I got the tweet. At Stormy Daniels tweeted, ladies and gentlemen, may I present your president. In addition to his shortcomings, he has demonstrated his incompetence, hatred of women, and lack of self-control on Twitter again, and perhaps a penchant for bestiality. Game on, Tiny. So... people are tired, man. You know, this is the thing that I always say. If Obama had did that.
Right.
I'm going to give it to you, bro. What are your thoughts about this and him and her and just the whole thing? Like, we know he messed with her. We know that for a fact now. There's no denying that anymore. You lied about it. We know that you messed with her. But what are your thoughts?
You know, the fact that he's lied about it, he wasn't on the oath, he wasn't under oath, and he wasn't on the House or Senate floor, you know, but he sat there as a president and he's lying about it and people are rolling with him. I'm really curious to see when that stops. At what point is this house of cards gonna, you know, at some point you can lie and lie and lie, but at some point that whole house of cards comes tumbling down on you. I'm waiting to see when that's going to happen. I want to be there.
Mm-hmm.
And his supporters are sitting there left having to come with the reality that they've been duped all this time. And, you know, they've accepted it.
Mm-hmm.
That was a savage hit, you know, throwing the little bestiality jab in there.
That was a weird one for me, her throwing in
You know, that was a kind of a weird one. And, you know, more to follow.
Mm-hmm. You know, like when I think about bestiality, I think about it in this regards. you know, we always think about people or women messing with horses, right?
Well, let's get to one thing. You said we. This is a good I statement now.
This is a good I statement? Okay, no, you're right. You're right, bro. I'm going to give you that. When I think about bestiality, I consider women with horses and stuff like that. That's the stuff that comes to mind. We don't want to get into details of how I think of that, but that's just what it is, right? But you don't really know what this man is into. Like, we always hear about people putting gerbils and hamsters in certain areas of their body. You don't know what the man's into. We don't know him like that, right? So with that in mind, I'm just like, you know what? If any part of this is true, the evangelicals, how are they going to take this? That's what I want to know. Are they going to just keep throwing their support like it's okay? Yeah.
Yes.
You know, that's the part that I think people need to understand. It's not so much that well, it is a lot. He's into bestiality. That's a lot. That's a lot. Yeah. But I think the bigger issue is, man, at what point do people say, okay, enough is enough? This has to stop. Like, we can't keep making excuses for him. And that's what I think people need to understand. When do you stop saying, we're not going to make any more excuses for this guy? So what are your thoughts about that?
You know, that's a great point. And I think they're not going to stop making excuses for him until they're willing to accept reality. And they're not there yet. They are still, you know, oh, the economy's great. They see these positive job numbers. What was it? 7 million jobs available in the U.S. right now. Well, that is a problem unto itself. If you have 7 million vacancies, that's going to stifle your economy. You're not going to be able to go any longer because you got too many holes in your economy, too many open jobs. And we don't have immigrants to fill those jobs.
Mm.
You know, so that means there shouldn't be any people that are collecting unemployment or anything like that in the country either, right? Because you got 7 million jobs open. So, you know, there's some stuff that's just not quite lining up. You know, all the truth will come out. It'll come out. But yeah, his supporters, they're still
not going anywhere.
They ain't going nowhere.
Okay. So with that in mind, like, we could discuss that for as long as we need to. The truth of the matter is, like you just said, his supporters are his supporters, and then that's that. All right. Okay, so let's jump on to this Blasey Ford Kavanaugh. Now is a Supreme Court justice. You know, here's the truth of the matter, man. And I really wanted to give my thoughts on this a long time ago. I knew when this first jumped off that this was going to be a difficult road for her to prove. And here's why. This happened 30-something years ago. Now, I believe her,
mm-hmm.
right? I do believe her. I'm saying on Facebook, I do believe her, not because I'm anti-Republican, but because I don't want to put the victim down, right?
Right.
If a young woman says, this is what happened, I have to err on the side of caution and get all the facts, right? And go from there. Now, after seeing the testimony and all that different things, were there some holes in her stuff? Of course, 30 plus years ago, right?
Yep.
But at the same time, it didn't seem like he was even able to fill in those holes as well. There were some holes, there were some gaps, there were things like that. But I say all that to say, we can't blame the victim, man. If she is saying that this happened, then it should be investigated, right?
Mm-hmm.
We dug on Bill Cosby, and now the man's in jail. Why couldn't we dig on this? That's all I'm saying.
Well, you know, that second background check that limited it wasn't even an investigation. As we now know, the FBI was told they could not investigate. They could only redo the background check, and only in limited fashion. So when you don't, when you're not allowed to interview the victim or the alleged perpetrator, that's not an investigation.
Mm-hmm.
I agree with you. You know, trying to be, I do believe this is Ford.
Yeah.
And
I think she's credible. I think what she said was
I think she's
credible.
Very credible. At the same time, something you did in high school 30 years ago, should that preclude you from having a job today? I hesitate on that.
Yeah.
I think if you would have handled this differently, no, there is no remedy for the victim since there's no, because of the time that's lapsed in our legal system, there's no remedy for the victim and there's no evidence. She's a credible witness, but you are still, there's a preponderance of evidence to say that he did this thing. That on its face, I think, even I would err on the side of caution and rule in his favor that there's just not enough evidence to convict or say that he did or did not do this, even though she is credible, but it's a he said, she said thing. Where I think the problem is, was Kavanaugh showed his true colors sitting there being questioned.
Oh, definitely.
He melted down. To me, that was his disqualifying. He disqualified himself with his emotional outbursts and the whole lot. That was disqualifying to me as a well metered and tempered Supreme Court justice. He is not it. Nonpartisan, unpoliticized. He's none of those things. So I think you know, they're talking about how it's energizing some of the base about this talk of Kavanaugh.
Mm-hmm.
What I think it did is they just gut punched 120 million women in this country, women and girls. They gut punched, and now Trump's saying if he's guilty or not, he doesn't care because he won. That is another gut punch, and I hope these people that voted for him, these women that voted for him for one reason or another, will look at this and realize that this dude isn't for you. He's not rolling for you. He cares about winning, not about you, your concerns, your freedom. Yes, his fellow rich people. That's it.
And that's the unfortunate piece. You know what I mean? That's the unfortunate side about all this. For me, it's not. No, I'm not going to say that. For me, it's, my goodness, he's being accused of this, right? And like I said, it's really hard to take something that happened 30 plus years ago and say, well, here's what happened. Here's the evidence. There were people that were, from what I understand or what I read about the topic itself, was they didn't have enough, there wasn't enough evidence. They couldn't find enough evidence to say one way or the other, this actually happened. He's saying it didn't. She's saying it did. Basically, you're having a game of he said, she said, because you don't have enough evidence to corroborate either story at this point, right? What she remembers was she had one beer, and she remembers Kavanaugh and the other guy were holding her down. She was able to escape, and that was that. You know, and again, I'm not going to victim blame here. I'm not doing that, right? I'll never victim blame. But to me, this should have been looked further into. We should have looked further into this, man.
The fact that there isn't enough evidence is because the investigating body that would make the determination if this was prosecutable or not wasn't even allowed to do their job.
Mm-hmm. And that's the problem. Nobody was able to fully investigate. That's where we're going to definitely agree. a full investigation. You know, here's the truth of the matter. Everyone's talking about, oh, impeach Trump, impeach Trump. That's not going to happen anytime soon, right? It's just not. We could have done a full investigation, right?
Right.
By we, I say the U.S., Congress, whatever, could have got a full investigation in, right? And then we could have gone forward. Now, if there's no corroborating evidence, there's nothing that can be done, a full investigation is done, everyone's interviewed, then you know what? Hey, President Trump, you got your second nominee. There it is. It's just that simple. You have your second nominee, right? Mm-hmm. But because it wasn't done to the fullest extent, there to me, there will always be an asterisk. Asterisk, right. Why? Okay, so what happened? Why didn't this? Okay, well, here's history. So there it is.
Yeah, and this is also interesting because I haven't heard any follow-up from Chief Justice Roberts and him asking for an investigation. So I'd like to know where that's going to go. Because just because Kavanaugh is on that seat now does not mean he cannot be removed tomorrow. So with the Chief Justice calling for an investigation, I am really curious to see how that's all going to play out.
Yeah, and so I definitely, I'd like to see more. I'd like to see more of this go forward because to me, this isn't the end of it. If we really want to push this, I think this can be pushed, right? Mm-hmm. I really do. I really think this can be pushed. I really, really do. But the problem is I think to a degree, and you may agree or disagree with me, Chance and Village, but there's a lot of political, in a sense, grandstanding in regards to topic like this. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
it was definitely. These kind of things are used to kind of prevent or hinder, slow down something going on politically, right?
Mm-hmm.
The minute he was sworn in or whatever, I don't know what the exact verbiage is, she kind of fell to the wayside. You know what I mean?
The media dropped her.
Yes, the media dropped it, definitely.
Yeah, and that's the thing. You know, the news cycle is dominated by a few small news organizations. And if you're not, deemed relevant anymore, you're dropped and you move on to the next thing. You know, we had, you know, Michael took her place. You know, Hurricane Michael.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's, people have a short attention span.
They do.
And
people have short attention spans, definitely.
Short attention spans and singular focus. It's they don't want to read an in-depth story. They want a couple of talking points. They want a PowerPoint slide for each topic. And they want to be able to move on with just that. Those key bits of information. They have a few facts, a few details, but they have no deep understanding of what really is going on. And I think that's part of the issue we have now. With the electorate, we have a lot of people without any deep meaning or meaningful understanding of what is truly going on politically. You know, Mitch McConnell's talking about cutting Medicare, Medicaid, Social Security now because the deficit's growing too fast. But he's the same guy that said all those tax breaks, we're going to get rid of the deficit. So.
Yeah, so we don't, you know, the whole thing, look, let's just, we can all agree politics sucks. We can all agree there. It's that simple, right?
Yep.
But this, for me, is something that we definitely need. Further investigation should be done. I'm not saying you walk away from this, but there are other steps that can be done, can be taken, and this can actually still go forward if she actually wants to go forward with this. Because from what I understand, there's no statute of limitations. This can be taken care of one way or the other. That's all I'm saying.
There is a statute of limitations. He can't, okay. So he can't be prosecuted, but he can be held in contempt for lying to Congress.
Oh.
This would be a disqualifier for him to be a Supreme Court justice. He could be removed from office.
Yeah.
If it turns out that these allegations are in fact are fact based and true,
mm-hmm.
then he lied to Congress. So he's out of there.
Okay. Makes sense. I got it. Okay. Okay. All right, Chance, let's move on here, man. We got this next topic here, and this is something that I'm kind of just going to throw in there real quick. If you guys haven't heard, the Saudi journalist that walked into the Turkish embassy.
Yes.
And brother did walk out. That's crazy. So now it's being reported that basically he was chopped up. That's absolutely insane.
He was
chopped up.
Dismembered and taken out in suitcases.
Yes. So I don't know how to properly address this other than damn. Like I don't know how else to address this. I wanted to discuss it real quick because this to me is a direct threat to freedom of speech, the press, and all that.
Oh, yeah.
You say something that they don't like, you get disappeared. That's mm-hmm. how I interpreted all this. That's how I saw this. Chance, what are your thoughts on this one, man?
You know, one, the Saudis did this to a journalist. That's this horrific crime. Two, they did it on somebody else's soil in someone else's sovereign territory. That is tantamount to an act of war. And he was a journalist for the Washington Post. So Trump is defending the Saudi prince, saying the Saudi prince had no idea what happened. You know, there's two thoughts to that. If he's telling the truth and he didn't know what happened, that means he's got a very, very powerful rogue element in his government that he needs to watch out for because they might disappear his ass.
Mm-hmm.
Two, he could be full of shit and just lying, political line, just to mitigate any potential political issues. And just playing politics with it, right, or playing diplomacy with it right now. And you know, the fact that they're talking about this guy's Apple Watch may have recorded this whole thing. And from my understanding is you don't want to do a crime in Turkey. Police are slow, but they'll get you because they got cameras everywhere. Mm-hmm. They're really, really good at reconstructing events with their camera systems. And so I don't know who has access to the guy's account and that server, but supposedly that whole thing has been recorded, the whole event.
We'll wait and see. That's all I can say. Let's wait and see, man, because I'm interested to see how all this is going to play itself out. I really, really am. I'm so intrigued about how this can play itself out. So, yeah.
I mean, this is some real James Bond inspector and inspector shit going on.
Mm-hmm.
Justin crap. It's like, damn.
And like I said, man, for me, this really simply boils down to the press said something you didn't like.
Right.
They killed him.
Yeah.
That's a tough one. That's a tough one for me. I don't care where you're from. That's a tough one.
Mm-hmm. And they do it brutally. I mean, that's.
Yeah. Yeah. Like they, like apparently the guy was, like you said, he was carried out in pieces, in suitcase, in luggage.
Yeah. Before like
yes, because he was engaged. He went with his then fiance. You know, was still fiance. I'm not going to disrespect her like that. He went with his fiance, and she said around midnight he hadn't been out. So she went home because she figured something was up. She went back the next day. She still couldn't get in contact with him, and then it turns out that he was killed. You know. That's a damned if you do, damned if you don't situation. Yeah.
She's lucky she's alive.
She is. She's very lucky. Because to me, I'm just speaking out loud. And Village, don't quote me on any of this. But Chance would, I think, would agree with me. That's what they call a loose end.
Yes.
She's a loose end. That mm-hmm. it sucks because if she's saying, hey, she goes out, she says, hey, my fiance walked into this building and he has not come out. Guess what? Now you got people asking questions, right?
Yeah.
She walks in with him. They both disappear. Nobody knows the difference. Nobody knows the wiser.
Yeah, for a long time, oh, they eloped.
Yeah, exactly. They eloped and they ran off to God knows where, and that's that. Right? Okay. Mm-hmm. So let's jump into these other topics here, man. I'm over here pulling up this text message you sent me earlier. So the other topic that I wanted to definitely discuss today, the November elections. Let's talk about November elections coming up. In your opinion, are we still going in the right direction as far, and I don't like to claim myself as a Democrat, but are Democrats still going in the right direction as far as taking the House, the big blue wave, as is being said? Do you think they're still going in the right direction?
You know, it's interesting. What I see is two parties that are fragmented. You have the Republicans with the these sad little Trumpites, and then you have the alt-right, and they're all flying the Republican banner.
Mm-hmm.
On the center and the left side, you have the centrist Democrats, and then you have the progressive wing. The centrist Democrats are losing credibility because they're wanting to talk to a madman. And the progressives are really cleaning up on local races. So what you may end up with is a far left party and a far right party. And there's not much credibility of the centrist. I mean, there's the two centrist Republicans that were there have lost their credibility when they voted for Kavanaugh and didn't ask for the two women. When they did not request actual real investigation, and they went ahead, we could have delayed the vote, but they chose not to. So all of that stuff, I think the Democrats have to be careful not to lose the energy and to get young people, women, and minorities out to vote. And you know, people that think their vote doesn't matter, then Republicans wouldn't be working so hard to suppress your vote. Suppressing the vote of Native Americans who have street addresses, suppressing the vote of people in the South living in public housing with public housing IDs and saying, oh, that ID isn't good enough. Oh, and by the way, we've shut down all the DMVs near you and there's no public transportation. So they've created a hurdle for the hurdle to make it nearly impossible for many, many people to get in and vote. So, you know, purging voter rosters if you don't vote, if you miss one election or one vote cycle and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
All those things are meant to disenfranchise young people because, you know, the gamble is they know most old people vote all the time.
Mm-hmm.
Young people, they got lives. They got stuff going on with the kids. They got, you know, in college. You know, they got stuff going on. So they don't vote all the time. So their Republicans are doing everything they can to keep these people from voting.
Mm-hmm.
And like I said, if your vote doesn't matter, why would people be working so hard to suppress it?
Right. That exactly. Exactly. So I'm over here trying to comment to people and stuff like that. There was somebody in the chat box that would like to get our thoughts on Elizabeth Warren.
As
her
presidential candidate?
No, her basically taking the DNA test and I didn't see the test. I didn't see the results, rather. But apparently she's partial Native American. I don't know. I don't know. Truthfully, here's my thoughts on it real quick. It would take a few minutes on this. Mm-hmm. Whether she is or she isn't, it wasn't a big deal for me. And here's why. Does it look stupid for her to claim that? Yes. Very stupid, right? So for her, it's a stupid move if she did that. She's only going to hurt herself politically. That's all she's going to do. Because now you're trying to claim something that you really have nothing that, you know, you can't really be a part of, right? Or you should be claiming. So regardless of whether she is or she isn't, I have to go and see if I can find the results. I truthfully don't care. I just think it was a stupid, I don't think it was necessary. That's my opinion. I don't think she needed to do the test. Let the story die. Carry on about your business. My thoughts. Go ahead, Chance.
So this goes back to the 2016 election.
Mm-hmm.
Throughout her life, she'd been claiming that she was part Native American. And that goes back to family lore. Everyone's got some family lore. You go back to the East Coast, every black person you talk to is going to be part Cherokee. You know, that was the family lore. That there was some Native portion in it. She rolled with it. She was listed as a minority in college by being part Native American. They kind of officialized. And of course, this predates any DNA testing that you could easily take care of and do. In my own family, I get, you know, yeah, we're part Cherokee, like I said, East Coast. I did the test. The test said I was 30% Nigerian, not a single piece of Native American in it. Here's the funny part. 5 months later, I get an update. The test comes back 0% Nigerian. And like 5% Native American and primarily Congolese now. So as science evolves and the technology gets better,
mm-hmm.
results, that whether she is or isn't is lost to history.
Yeah.
She wasn't trying to mislead anybody. It was very well known that people in her family talked about being Native American. So trying to blow it out of proportion to make it seem like she was trying to deceive someone, no. She was telling something that she believed herself. That's what she was taught as a child. And to me, that's it. There is no story there.
Mm-hmm. Well, there's no story worth discussing for that.
Right.
There's nothing to me. It wasn't a big deal. That wasn't something that politically broke the news cycle, if you will. I was mm-hmm. like, she wants to claim this. So what? Who cares? Right.
Right.
I think people made a bigger deal out of it than what it really was. And that's all I got, man. That's it. Chance, or brother, let's move on to this one that you sent me earlier, or that you tagged me in earlier. President Trump is to speak at the Family Research Council's Values Voter Summit. I'm going to go ahead and read this article here about it. I got this on from Newsweek. President Trump will be the first sitting president to address the Family Research Council's Values Voter Summit, which the Southern Poverty Law Center SPLC described as rogue's gallery of the radical right. Trump will be the keynote speaker at Friday's event, which will also be attended by his former strategist, Steve Bannon. Other speakers include the founder of anti-Islam group ACT for America and former Trump strategist Sebastian Gorka. The Anti-LGBTQ Family Research Council, labeled as a hate group by the SPLC, has hosted its annual summit since its inception in 2006. Values voters have waited 8 years for a leader who puts America's mission first and respects the values that made America into a great nation. The council's president, Tony Perkins, said in a statement reported by The Hill, values voters are coming to our nation's capital, thankful to hear from a president who is fulfilling the promises that he campaigned on. Since the early days of the campaign, President Trump allied himself with values voters, promising to put an end to 8 years of relentless assault on the First Amendment, he added. Okay, so we can go on and on. I can read this thing, but here's the truth of the matter. I'm going to say it again. If Obama had did it, right?
Yeah.
Like if Obama continued, let's just say this, if Obama would have regularly or attended church with that pastor, right? I can't see the guy's name, right? If he would have attended church, Reverend Wright, yes. If he would have attended that church regularly, I think it would have been some major issues,
mm-hmm.
right? I think that would have been an issue. However, comma, we don't group or lump things up into the same category in that regard. We just don't lump things correctly. So I'm going to throw it to you, man. After reading that and hearing that, and you're the one that sent me the article, what are your thoughts on this?
Well, anybody that sits back and says Trump's not a racist, he's not a bigot, he's not an anti-Semite, they're fooling no one except for themselves.
Mm-hmm.
He's being very blatant about it, and it's it's indefensible. I got a shout out. I ripped that from. I tagged you from Amanda's page,
mm-hmm.
and good friend Diana. She was all on it. I love her summation of what Trump is. He's an ass clown, and he's going to have to give up that ass in jail at some point in time.
Okay.
You know, and that's what's going to happen to him. Hopefully, I shouldn't say that.
But the ugly side about all this is, if you just look at the basis, the base, it's like you. Could you imagine President Obama attending? Let's just say hypothetically, right? Let's say
he went to a Farrakhan speech.
Yeah, like a Farrakhan or Black Panther, new Black Panther Party or something like that, right? Mm-hmm. The conservative right, evangelicals, would lose their minds.
Oh, yeah.
Absolutely lose. They would lose their minds, right? And that's what I try to base things off of. That's how I try to correlate to people. It's if you feel a certain way about me because of the color of my skin, or you feel a certain way about LGBTQ rights or whatever the case may be, you know what? You have the right to feel how you want to feel, but we cannot have a president that supports that. I don't think we should.
He has to be president for everybody.
Exactly.
And I think that's what people forget. Obama wasn't president for Black people. He was president for all Americans.
Mm-hmm.
Liked him or not, and he did everything he could in his power to, you know, you see, you have people whose lives have been saved by him and Obamacare that still despise this man, and that's okay, because he's going to do it for you anyways, because he's mm-hmm. because that's his job, and he did his sworn job and duty, and you don't have to like it. But he did it. And Trump, on the other hand, is doing everything he can to pander to his little base of radicals. And actually, I keep saying little, but what's scary is that voting block of people is about 30% of the population, which was significant enough to get him elected.
Mm-hmm.
And the really sad part is, if 1% of non-voters would have voted, we wouldn't be talking about this right now.
That's tough. I thought it was like 2%, actually. Wasn't it like closer to 2%?
If it was, you maybe, yes.
I think the number was more closer to the 2% range.
2% in the flip states.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. Because I think the number was 1% nationwide.
Okay. Yeah, maybe that's what I was referring to. Because I know there was something like someone said 2 or 3%, and I went and looked it up, and it was like 2 and some change or something like that. I don't know. But like you said, it could have just been the flip states.
Mm-hmm. You
know, those key states where it could have gone either way. So, okay, I get that.
Yeah, it wouldn't help California. You know, California is just California.
Yeah, like it, California. I don't see California flipping anytime soon. We got too many liberals living here. We got too many people from the LGBTQ community living throughout California. You know, I mean, there may be a couple of districts that may vote red, but as a whole, California votes Democrat. That's just
what. And a lot of those conservatives are leaving the state, moving to Texas, Arizona.
Mm-hmm. I've had friends that do that. I kid you not. I've had
me too.
I've known since high school, they've literally up and moved because they're tired of California. I'm like, all right, cool.
Deucey.
Yeah, man, it doesn't fake me none. I'm not going nowhere. I love it here. So that's how you feel.
And you know, because there's more people coming to California than leaving California.
Mm-hmm.
So that's all these things I'm hoping will energize these people to flip not just the House, but flip the Senate.
Mm-hmm.
Because Trump will get impeached, but he probably won't be removed from office, because you're not going to get, unless something just absolutely horrific comes out, you're not going to get the 67 votes in the Senate to have him removed from office.
Mm-hmm.
And so he's going to be there.
Yeah, he'll probably finish his first term. Let's just
He might. You know, his diet and weight, you know, he may stroke out. Who knows?
Damn chance. Damn chance.
No, I'm serious. It's a real possibility.
Mm-hmm.
But you never know. He could finish it. He may not. We don't know. Mueller's been fairly silent, quiet. Sessions knows he's going to get fired beginning of the year. Or after midterms, he knows he's going to get fired, and they're going to go after Mueller. First thing. So.
Yeah. And you know, if conservatives and Republicans really were about the truth, you know, they would put some legislation in there to protect Mueller. That's simple for me.
Right.
It's that simple. Because they went after Hillary with just they wanted her. And when they couldn't get everything, all of a sudden it was like, okay, cool. We've already done enough damage. So let's go ahead and let it go at the cost of millions of dollars to American taxpayers.
Right. They keep going after her. They can't prove anything. But you have another guy that's using a private account in an unsecure personal facility to host diplomatic meeting.
Mm-hmm.
Hmm. He and his children and other family members are using personal devices for a professional government business, which is the whole premise of the Hillary email thing.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but
yeah, that was it, because it was, it's a non-secure, it's a private server, it's this, it's that. I mean, that's, look, Colin Powell said it best. She got caught.
Yeah.
You know?
They all do it.
Yeah, because they all do it. Colin Powell literally said she was stupid enough to get caught. There it is.
Mm-hmm.
You know? They all do it. It's convenient for them not to have to deal with every time they want to read an email, having to go through all these different channels and all this stuff. It's convenient. Do I get the why they need to do it? Why we need to have these security measures? Of course. Of course I get it. However, They all do it. And there it is.
Yeah.
So.
Still doing it.
Exactly. It's being done right now. It didn't scare nobody. She just got caught. There it is. That's it. So Chance, I'm gonna throw it to you. The text message you sent me earlier today about trade wars. You know, excuse me. The trade wars. Tell me your thoughts on what's going on with these trade wars.
I think it's an ego trip, really. It's Trump is trying to show that he's strong, and he's trying to bully the, in some respects, the largest economy in the world, and use our heft to bully someone. That's what he's used to doing. That's what he enjoys doing. He doesn't understand that the Asian culture, you have to save face, and China's going to save face. The Chinese people can do a lot of belt tightening. Americans, our bellies are too big to tighten them belts. So,
Speak for yourself. I'm working on mine.
I use we.
and again, this is a good I statement. I.
Right. But, you know, this whole trade war is turning out to be an absolute mess. It's hurting, short-term at least, it's affecting the people that it was supposed to be protecting. You have Ford that's hit a new 52-week low. Their Chinese sales have plummeted. They're laying off 5,000 U.S. workers. You have Midwest farmers. You have Southern pork producers. All these different parts of the economy are getting impacted. China didn't buy any U.S. oil. They're going to Nigeria now, buying Nigerian oil. You know, this is going to drive the price of U.S. crude way down.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, some people will be like, yeah, that's great. That's great. Until they're out of a job in Texas because they're starting to close those oil fields again that Obama was able to reopen for you guys.
Yeah.
You could actually export oil. Instead of importing all of it. So all these things that, you know, are put in place, it's a very organic and symbiotic relationship. When you go in there and you affect one person or one place, one part of that economy and that trade, you will end up, it'll have a ripple effect somewhere else. Sometimes not where you expect it.
Yeah.
But, you know, in Trump's case, you know, all economists predicted. And at some point, the U.S. economy will falter. It's strong. You know, Obama set up a good 8-year run and made the economy very resilient. But it's showing cracks. I agree with Trump that interest rates were raised too fast. Secretary Paulson, who, you know, Trump appointed, is raising rates way too fast.
Mm-hmm.
And it's already affecting the housing market out here. Prices are coming down on housing. Car sales are slowing down. It's all these things that, you know, are happening, but the economy is still booming. Profits are still booming because profits are lagging indicators. You're not seeing what today's profits are. You're seeing what the profits were from the previous quarter.
Mm-hmm.
So it'll be first and second quarter profits that I think will be the real test and true indication of the health of the economy. And once those come in, I suspect they're going to come in very low and maybe show the first signs that we're entering a recession.
Okay. And that's the scary part, man. You know, like, that's the scary part is that, let's just speak hypothetical here. Trump is not reelected, right?
Mm-hmm.
He's not reelected. And now we're kind of easing into this, if you will. We're easing into a recession, right?
Mm-hmm.
A Democratic candidate wins the presidency, and now we blame that person, whoever it is, everything. We blame everything on them, right? Oh, we're now in a recession because they wanted it, but now they got to own it, and now they got to fix it, and this, that, and the third. So it's just, you know, like I said, man, damned if you do and a damned if you don't situation.
I think it depends on who's on message and who's on message the strongest and has the most convincing argument. I think that was the one place where Obama fell down, was he did not communicate his message very well to those people that didn't want to hear it. So I wanted to hear what he had to say. So I would find it and listen to what he had to say. But people that don't like Obama aren't listening to his speeches, aren't listening to the statistics he puts out. They're listening to the pundits on their favorite news rag or whatever, and getting partial and half truths, and or no information at all.
Mm-hmm.
So, if Democrats want to stay, want to regain power, and they need to come out and they start making some bold calls, like there will be a recession. It's baked in at this point, I believe. We can thank Trump and the tax cuts and the trade war.
Yeah, all we can do is wait and see how it kind of pans itself out.
Yeah, but they have to be on message. Yeah.
Oh, of course, of course. You can't just go in there willy-nilly.
You got to be on message, and you got to stay on that message. You have to have your people. Every time something comes up, hey, it looks like there's going to be a late hurricane this year coming up, and the recession is coming because of Republicans. You gotta just constantly bombard it every opportunity, every chance you get, and drive that message home. I think that unfortunately, Obama said it once, a couple of rallies, and then he moved on to the next thing because I think he overestimated the intelligence of the elect.
Mm-hmm. I agree. So, Chance, my brother, that is all I got for today. That's our time. Chance, tell people how to get a hold of you, bro.
Yeah, you guys can get a hold of me on Twitter at Chance W. Brown, and you can find me on the Welcome to the Village page lurking from time to time. You can find me on too at Chance W. Brown 1.
Okay.
Or Chance Brown 1, my bad.
Yeah, Chance Brown 1. That's what I was about to say. Like, that doesn't look like what I have saved. I am prepared to back you up just in case you forgot yours.
Right, right.
All right. So Village, we are back on, obviously. I'm hoping to get in here with you guys on Saturday or Sunday. I've been talking with Slink, and we're gonna get back after it. So if you want to get a hold of me, I'm at Enlighten My Mind on Twitter. I also handle the Village Twitter handle at W2TheVillage. Like you said, Slink is at Slink Grindstone. The show can be heard on Stitcher Radio, iTunes, Podomatic, and Tumblr by searching Welcome to the Village. You guys can go to the YouTube channel and check out all the Zoom replays of this show. Or simply put, just as soon as you see me going live, I don't go live for just any old thing. I'm only going live on podcasting. That's pretty much what the basis of me is. Google phone is 619-202-1562. Email welcometothevillage@gmail.com. The website is welcometothevillage.wixsite.com/website. And if you guys really want to, create a Zoom account. See if you guys can give us a follow. I don't think Zoom works like that. I think for the most part, you guys can just follow me on social media, and you guys will get notifications when I'm going live, and you guys can join in and talk on the show. Or if you guys, like I said, if you want to go head over to Zoom, create an account. I think you guys can politic with me over there as well, and I would greatly appreciate it. All right, so Village, that's our time for the day. As the saying goes, we love you, we thank you, God bless you, guys have a great night. Bye, everybody. You
rocking with the village. You rocking. Get it.